We are doing Shadal on my phone because we don't have the book here today. Didn't know it was it's a surprise sheet. So very interesting. The beginning of Truma. He wants to actually. You were talking before about how the Midrash gives a lot of the reasons for the meaning and the symbolism behind the building of the Mishkan. So Shadal actually wants to bridge the gap between Mishpatim and the Mishkan. Where does this come out of? Like, why are we talking about, you know, various laws having to do with, you know, damages and all those different Mishpatim laws? And then all of a sudden you're building the Mishkan. What's the connection? He says, "Acher shekiblu aleihem ha-mishpatim va-torot." Once they accept the Mishpatim and the Torah, meaning the laws, the Hayah Hashem B'Yishurin Malach, and God is like declared king, and he's the all-important person or being, I should say, that is you're worshiping. Ro'oishi Asulo Mikdash. Now you should make him a sanctuary. It's appropriate to make God a sanctuary once you accept him and his laws. Ki'ilu milechem, ki'ilu malcham shochein betocham. That you're pretending, or it's as if God is a king who is among you, right? You might recognize that language from, you know, it says that when you build a Mishkan, God will dwell among you. So how Shadal understands that, at least from these words, is that we are acting by building a Mikdash as if God is among us, because that's how we feel. Okay, very fascinating already. Why do that? Because it is a strong way of creating a feeling of unity in the nation, and to make the people more attached to the Torah, to keep the Torah law, right? By building a Mishkan, by building a Mikdash, something where people can draw themselves to and worship God through, right? There's actually a very good benefit of unity. Everyone is surrounding this thing. And in Israel, you know, where is the base of Mikdash? It's in Yerushalayim, which is kind of pretty much in the middle of the land, if you think about it. And, you know, the people from the north and the people from the south can all go to this one spot. There's a sense of unity that's created through the sanctuary existing.
I think it's interesting you say that, because like we see that theme all throughout the Torah.
Well, where else do we see like this emphasis on? I mean, we do obviously, but what are you thinking?
Well, I was thinking of like times like when like we do bad, like it always asks the question like with the Tower of Babel.
Oh yeah.
Like why were we punished less there than?
Right, they tried to fight against God, and all we have is like Bein Adam L'Chaveiro when it comes to the
like
the flood story.
You're like, oh my, that's such an awful thing, but. Uh-huh. A big part of it was that like they were still like united together.
Oh, the idea that they were united was actually a plus for them, despite the fact that they were fighting against God. And we have that in the Midrash, right? The Midrash says a kind of I think it's a fascinating statement, which is God says, as long as people are united, I cannot do anything to them. I can't touch them.
And even as I've been going through the Navi, all through Shoftim,
yeah,
it's like they do all these horrible things, and they're constantly like turning away from Hashem and idol worshiping. But we only see that like really bad stuff happens to them when like they're fighting against each other.
So very interesting that you bring up idolatry, because that's exactly what Shadal believes is one of the main causes for disunity, is the belief in idolatry. If you believe that in multiple gods, or you believe that your god is the moon god and his god is the sun god, and like they're fighting against each other, that means that you're not going to be able to ever see eye to eye, and you're going to believe that you're in competition with that person. But when it comes to belief in one God, at least we have a starting point of unity. And that is why Shadal thinks that, it's in the Ten Commandments to believe in one God and to not do idolatry. So a very interesting connection actually as well. So the Mikdash part is now realizing this in a actual building that people can center around. And even though, so it's interesting is that they're building this Mishkan right now. Why was it? Right now we don't, this is an interesting question he's bringing up. Why is it that they weren't punished yet by, they weren't going to be spending a lot of time in the Midbar. They were supposed to actually go to Eretz Yisrael already, right? They're going to, they received the Torah now, you know, quick couple of days or whatever. Now let's go straight to Israel. So why is it that they're building a Mishkan in the desert? Why wouldn't they just wait until they get to, until they get to the Holy Land? The answer is, Lo ratza Hashem shiyamtinu la'asot lo mikdash. God didn't want to wait. Why should they wait? Ashi yichvashu v'yichalek et ha'aretz. You know what would happen? They would first focus on fighting wars. And if you're fighting wars, that could take a long time. And then they're going to have to split up the land. They're going to have to apportion the land for the various tribes. And they're going to have to decide which part is actually, or at least God is going to have to tell them, which part is going to be the appropriate place for where the king is going to be and where the Mishkan is going to be. And they're to, you know, realize, you know, you're reading Shoftim and you're reading a lot of these interesting descriptions of the Aron constantly going from place to place, so that means that this thing is going to be constantly carried, you know, so you should make it now where it's going to be like a centered place, because now in the Midbar you can actually, like, you know, consider it something of a central place. Then, you know, once you get into the land of Israel, you're not going to see this as a central area. You're not going to see the Aron as like set in one place, because it's not. Right? V'amishkan hazeh shamesh shmonim shana v'dal me'ot shana ad shenivne habayit b'mei Shlomo. He points out that that's going to happen for at least 480 years.
Yeah.
Right? They're going to be constantly carrying this Aron until, I mean, you know, it's going to have some stops along the way, but basically 480 years later is when Shlomo builds the base of Mikdash, and where we can finally say the Aron and the Mishkan and the Mikdash are all in one place. So that's going to take a really long time, almost 500 years. So it's better to do it now, you know, while they're in the, and not wait 500 years. Good question, good answer. And while we're there, we'll do the next comment he has. It says, Vayikhuli truma. Right, you should take for me a donation, or rather, donate. It's funny that the language is Vayikhuli, take for me. Let's see what Shadal says. Mitzvah lechal uma. So this question, this mitzvah is actually for everybody. Shefkiru pkidim lekabel miyad hamitnavim. He says that the mitzvah God is saying by vayikhuli, take for me a truma, is rather that you should appoint people whose job it is to take the truma for me, that they should receive it from the volunteers, from the people who are donating. Kamosha Omer Tekef me eight kol ish tichlu et shumati. Okay, fine. He proves that. He says, Vizotza trumasher tichumi itam. Chen amar lahem Moshe. That's what Moshe says in Lamed Hei Hei, which he says, Kichu meitchem, that you should take from amongst yourselves. So obviously you're appointing people to actually do that for God. Okay? He says, Shan Shea Uma, Mamonim Lakach, that there are people who are appointed to this, Yichu Mishar Uma. They should take it from everyone else. Yikablu miadam mashi navu, and they will receive that which people are donating. Okay. Kol nidiv libo, yaviu et trumat Hashem. Nira, it seems to me, or it seems, ki ha'am lo yifkidu pikidim, ela hiviu el Moshe atzmo. Ki katuv, v'yichu melifnei Moshe v'hem hiviu elav od. And so Shadal says something interesting here. I have to look into this. He says that was God's command, is to appoint people, but it doesn't seem like they ever did appoint people. Because if you look at the Pasuk in Lamed Vav Vav, it says that they gave it to Moshe. So Moshe was the guy. Even though God had commanded that, I guess they didn't feel it was necessary. They wanted to do it directly. Why that would be is a good question that's left off in Shadal. Why would it be that God would command, okay, make appointees to collect it from everybody, and the people decided they wanted to give it directly to Moshe? It's an interesting question. Maybe the people didn't want to have shluchim. They don't want to have people who are an intermediary. They wanted to be the ones who directly donated because they're doing it from the generosity of their heart. Possibly. All right, go ahead. That's Shadal for today.